Over the last couple of years, we've raised close to $250,000 for those great people, and we're looking forward to doing not the same this year. I mean, that's over 2 years, but, you know, we'd like to get up there close to a sellout. If we can sell it out, that'd be nice. I think we're also going to have some 98 stuff available. May I just say this, and I say it with much respect. If you're calling my voicemail and you're asking where can you get the CD, that's where you get it. You will also be able to order it online, and when that becomes available, we'll let you know. You can order it online via the PhilHenryShow.com website. However, if you call our voicemail and ask how you can get it, those are the only two ways. We're not going to mail it out from the radio station, and it just ain't going to happen. It hasn't happened for 2 years, not because we don't like you, not because we don't appreciate you, but because we're just not going to do it. We don't have the resources for it. We can't accept money here and mail CDs out. Not going to happen. If you'd like one, and believe me, I'm more grateful than you'll ever know that you would like one, please come to our CD signings or order it online when it becomes available online at philhenryshow.com. And you can also order it here at the KFI640.com website. So those two spots, and you'll love it. Personal message, Tom Looney called last night trying to get some information. Tom, would you do us a favor? Please don't call us and try to get information on what's the scoop here at KFI. A, we don't really want to lay it on you. B, we don't have any more information than you do if you really want to know the honest truth. And C, leave us alone. Tom Looney, not a bad guy, but I don't want to be your friend. I just don't want to hang out with you. What? How many other ways can I put it? I don't want to have drinks with you. I don't want to trade emails with you. I don't want to have a cocktail with you. I don't want to be one of the guys. I don't want to be rubbing elbows and, you know, doing the do there and the inside pipeline for the radio biz. I personally am not interested in having anything to do with you. It's not that you're a bad guy, but, you know, the problem is when I rejected your advances, as cute as you are, you started writing all kinds of crap about me. You started writing crap about my wife, and none of it was true. So I had to call a halt to the proceedings, and because of that, now you don't write anything about me that isn't total and complete and utter balderdash. It's just everything you write about me, man, is wrong. So, you know, as much as I try to distance myself from you, not have anything to do with you, not answer your emails, etc., you're still calling up here, rooting around, snouting around like a hog in slop, looking for information. We got none. I'm as in the dark as you are about what's going on around here. I just passed a general manager in the hallway here earlier. That's about the fourth time I've seen this guy. Four times I've talked to this guy since he took over as the GM of this radio station. What does he think of my show? I wouldn't know in a million years. He never comments on... I haven't heard him comment on one thing he's heard on this radio station in the four times that I've actually talked to him, okay? So there, put that in your column. I know that Terry Ray Elmer's husband is on the Atkins diet. He's lost 30 pounds. T-Ray got her hair done. It looks fantastic. Beyond that, I know nothing. So leave me, leave my people, leave me and my tribe alone, please. And, you know...
Phil Hendry 先生一齐飞行，我哋现在正系响 30,000尺高空中飞翔。顺便告诉大家 ，Captain，我哋今晚嘅特别嘉宾系 Jackie Chan 先生。
Phil Hendry Show 1-800-449-8686. May I just make a note at the beginning of the program about Kwanzaa, if I could, and then we'll try to move on, although I'm not sure whether or not we will be able to. Little note for white folks, Kwanzaa ain't for you. Kwanzaa is not for you. Kwanzaa wasn't intended for you. It is not a multiracial celebration. It is not a multinational celebration.
If you need a new mattress,
it ain't got nothing to do with white people.
Announcement.
I see some lady going down the street today, and she's in her Kwanzaa dress. And she's a white woman. And she's going to get with Kwanzaa. And I got to tell you, forgive me, Kwanzaa ain't for white people, so give it up. Kwanzaa is for black folks. Kwanzaa was developed by black folks for black folks. Again, not got nothing to do with whitey. And, you know, if you don't dig it, then forget it. Ignore it. Every time... you know, this time of year rolls around, people have got to start coming with the comments about Kwanzaa. You know, what about, holy geez, you know, it's a fictitious,
if you
what do you care?
Listen to this
important
announcement.
Do with you, white man.
1-800-MATTRESS now offers nationwide delivery
well, why
of famous
can't they,
brand
what,
mattresses.
What, quit sticking your nose in other people's business. Quit sticking your big, long snout into what other people are doing with their holiday celebration. Let the black folks have their Kwanzaa. Quit trying to get your big white nose in there. Got nothing to do with white folks. Black folks do not want white people celebrating Kwanzaa. They don't want us celebrating it. Maybe we can acknowledge it in a nice, happy way, in a friendly manner. Say, well, happy whatever the hell that thing is that you guys do. You know, happy Kwanzaa, whatever the hell you want to do. Go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But this has got nothing whatsoever to do with white folks trying to embrace and understand the African-American or African cultural ethic or anything above or beyond or underneath that. It's got nothing. It's just a thing that black folks do. And whitey, check out. And that includes all your comments about it, because when this season rolls, every December, and I don't know, even know when Kwanzaa hits, man. Is it like this week or next week or something? I suppose I should have that information in case any of our black listeners call up and say, by the way, have you got the date on Kwanzaa? Because I want to go out and get a hat for it or something. I want to go get my Kwanzaa hat. I suppose that. I remember when I worked in Minneapolis. Not that Minneapolis is any great hotbed of Islam, but it just so happened I was working in Minneapolis and a lot of Muslim listeners were calling and asking something about the full moon. Because Ramadan is like right now or is happening very soon. And there's something with the full moon. I had no idea. And it was a very cloudy, overcast season in Minneapolis, as most Decembers are there, now that I come to, you know, get around to thinking about it. And they were asking, can you tell us when the full moon is out? I said, why? Because we can start eating again, because apparently there is a fast that precedes the holy season. That's the kind of information that I should be armed with, should my listeners need it. Beyond that, I'm not going to be sitting here telling white folks where to get their Kwanzaa skirt or their Kwanzaa jock or whatever it is that you have to get, because it's got nothing to do with you. And if one year after the other, I got to hear it once, I hear it a million times from white people saying, what is Kwanzaa anyway? Why do these people got it? Well, you know something, my friend, got nothing to do with you. Shut up. So what's the story here, Mike? They started the fast, then the clouds rolled in, and they didn't know when to start eating again? Is that your contribution to the Ramadan thing? By the way, when you're a fat man like me and you wear button fly pants, guess what happens? You're so fat, the buttons start popping. You're walking around with your fly wide open. People think you were born in a barn, and you have to explain to them, it's not that I didn't forget to zip up my fly or button my fly. It's the fact that I'm so fat that the buttons are popping. It's like, I'm sure I am sitting here, and you might have said something while we were show prepping this evening, but I noticed that Schaefer's eyes were drifting to my crotch every now and again, and he didn't say a word. Now I realize what it was. The buttons on my fly had popped. Just noticed a little bit of saliva. It was nothing very serious. It's okay. I still love you, man. You can protest your innocence all you want. The fact is, I spent a whole hour downstairs alone with you with my fly wide open. And I'm here to tell you, it's not a very pleasant. And what is that stench, if I may be so bold? Do you smell that? I walked in here at 4 o'clock. I really think this place has fallen apart. David Hall, our esteemed program director, hasn't been here for 4 days. And we're supposed to go to a party at his house on Saturday night, and this guy's got the bubonic plague in his home. He is at home sweating on a cot, and I'm supposed to go to his house in 48 hours? You know that, Mike? He's at home sweating on a cot with a mosquito net dropped around him. And I'm going to be visiting his pad in about 48 hours, man, to party? He was here a bit today, they're telling me. For what? Long enough to faint? He walked in, and he leaned against the wall. It was very unstable. They let him down to his whatever car it is that he drives. The guy hadn't been here all week, and he's got a party. He's got a holiday party coming up on Saturday night. He has had some infectious influenza, and we're all going to crowd into his home on Saturday night, start breathing all the bacteria, and have a festive, joyous season. I'm looking forward to that. What is that stink? I gotta, folks, just, you're going to have to go with me on this one, or tune out, whatever you'd like to do, but I'm going to have to get to the bottom of this. See, my wife,
She tells me I got a nose like some people got 20/20 vision. I mean, I got a, oh my God, what is that? You smell that? When I hit the door at 4 o'clock, I said, what in God's name is that? What is that? It is, oh, it's like dung. Honest to goodness, it smells like, oh man. I'm going to have to say this, and I'm sorry I have to bring my problems to the air. I can't do the show tonight if I got to smell that stench. What is that? Is that? That's not a person, is it? It ain't me. Can you smell that in there? Is that coming out of the door? How hermetically sealed are you in that studio? Because I'm telling you right now, that stench is so acrid, so fetid, and so corrosive, it is pouring underneath the cracks in the door. Boy, that's a sad thing what a man got to come to. Go to work at a 50,000-watt flame-throwing radio station. What a man got to come to. Come downtown, go to work. Oh, come on. Give me that remote mic. I'm going to find out what that is. If you can find out, give me a... I need 60 feet of cord. God. So that is that's the essence of both Kwanzaa, Islam, and David Hall's big holiday party coming up on Saturday night, okay? Something's got to be done about all of it. Well, they all have something in common. White man beware. Kwanzaa, Islam, and David Hall's party this Saturday night. If you white, get back. Just kidding. Just kidding about Islam and David Hall's party. I ain't kidding about Kwanzaa, though. In case you guys had any illusions about it. In case you guys were, you know, you wanted to step up to the plate and you... What is that, man? There is a, folks, forgive me, but there is a smell that is permeating. There is a malodorous, lingering, fetid odor that is lingering in the air around here. I mean, my ears are ringing. It's so bad. I am telling you the truth. You see that? Look at that. That stench is so foul, my eyes are watering. There's something, it's coming from that kitchen in there. I'm going to go look. Okay, hold on. Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-4498. Whew, man. 8686. Show 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to take a walk out of the studio. Oh man, when you open the door to this, you just, oh baby, does it come like a wave. Moments ago, I discovered a stench unlike any I think I have ever in my life. Well, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but there's something obviously very vile and very foul and fetid and something that is not, I don't think, that should not be allowed. And I am smelling something that ain't too good. Here's one of our security guys. You know what that stench is, my man? What's that?
Just go ahead. Tell me. What is it?
Look at this guy pointing at the microphone. Fire him, will you? Next time I put a microphone in somebody's face around here, you better say something, okay? It's what? It's food?
It's some food up in there.
It's some food up in there smell like that. What is it? Do you know? Well, what the hell kind of... Yeah, that's funny. Oh, listen to all the white people.
It's K-Ace. It's soul food.
Sure enough is. What is that, bud? What is it, bud? Is that all the cord I got? It's all the cord I got? What is it?
It's soul food. It's got catfish, everything.
That's about as funky a smell as I've ever laid my nose into. Now, what are you doing? Are you eating that?
That's right. I want to have it. You want to
get it away from you, will you? I don't want it, okay?
Well, you're going to have it a little bit.
I don't want it, okay? Now, what is that stuff you're eating it with?
Well, I have some collard greens, and there are also some yams, too, and rice.
What do you call that?
What Yeah, kind of food. It's soul food. It's the best thing that you're going to ever have in your life.
Oh, I see. It's the bestest thing that I'm going to ever have in my life, huh? God, I'm going to tell you something.
I'm not having any. I'm going to try some.
I don't want to have any of that, okay? Let me tell you something about catfish. You want to know why it smells so funky? You want to? Have you got your nose in that?
Look, man, let me explain life to you. I don't get a food that kind of kind of smell good. I eat a food that tastes good.
No, but I mean, the point I'm trying to make with you is, do you know why it smells so bad when you cook it? You want to know why?
No, not really, because I was sitting here eating my food, and you come down and do your radio show. I don't care.
No, do you want to know why?
No, I don't.
Say that you want to know why.
No, I don't.
Say that you want to know why.
Why?
Because catfish are bottom dwellers. They're bottom feeders and bottom suckers. You know what that means?
Yeah, it means they're garbage fish that eat on stuff on the bottom.
Right. Catfish eat all the garbage. They're garbage fish. So when they're eating all of that garbage and they're eating all of that swill and they're eating all of that crap, it goes into their system. They become a garbage thing to eat. And when you cook them up, they stink like garbage. Do you understand?
Same thing with what you like.
I beg your pardon?
Same thing what you like.
What do you mean the same thing that I like?
You told me that you love lobster more than anything you've had.
No, I do enjoy lobster. Why?
They're a bottom sucker.
Lobster's a bottom sucker.
That's right. If you know anything about seafood at all, and you know anything about fish, lobster is a bottom sucker and eat garbage.
It's not the same thing.
Yes, it is. Why isn't the same thing?
Because catfish...
Why isn't the same thing, smartass? Why isn't the same thing, smartass?
Okay, I'm thinking, all right? Lobster is delicious. It's good with,
Yeah, well, so is catfish.
I'm sorry?
So is catfish delicious, too.
I don't think it is.
Well, I don't eat it because you think it's good. I eat it because me think it's good.
You eat it because me think it's good. Look, but...
Phil, just admit it, okay? You like bottom sucker just as much as me like it, but because you like lobster, you think you're more bitchin'.
The fact of the matter is, I happen to like lobster because...
Yeah, go ahead, tell me why.
All right, okay, so lobster's a bottom sucker, but it ain't the same thing as catfish.
Why not?
Because catfish, he sucks, man. It sucks. You get it?
Sorry about you, Phil. You got caught with your pants down.
I got caught with my pants down, huh?
Yeah, you said you don't eat a bottom dweller, but you like lobster, and I'm eating catfish. Same thing.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. When you cook up lobster, it doesn't smell anywhere near as acrid, foul, and gut-wrenching as that catfish that you're eating.
Doesn't make a difference. Still a garbage fish. Ain't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It still smells like crap, man. How can you stick your nose in that and eat that? And I'm going to tell you something else, and I want you to get the word on this. When you're done with it, take that garbage outside the building. Do not eat that crap in here. You understand that?
I'm eating in here.
Don't throw it away in a garbage can in here there, okay? Take that crap, send it outside. You understand me?
What an asshole.
Yeah, that's me, man. Get it out of here because it stinks. Get it out of here because it stinks. Go, get it out. Catfish. Oh, baby. And they got yams in there. Something. I guess that stuff smells fine, but that catfish like to set you free. You get a nose full of that. Oh, man. And when I walked in here tonight and I took a whiff of that, and what happened was, and I don't want to say who, but someone was eating the catfish. And they were delivering me a phone message. They were coming upstairs to tell me, Phil, there's somebody on the phone for you. And they happened to have been eating the catfish and on the very phone that I was going to use to talk to the person that I needed to talk to. So first of all, I had to smell the catfish all over them. And then I had to stick my mouth right into a catfish-laden phone as I was speaking to the person that I needed to speak with. This, here he is right here. Here's Mr. Henry. And it was...
You're a real asshole. You know that?
Why? Because I don't have the same taste in food you got?
I'm telling you, when it comes time to throw that crap out, take it outside, put it in a dumpster, not in here. Not in here, not in the break room. Outside.
You don't like Kwanzaa, do you?
Got nothing to do with me not liking Kwanzaa, man. Nothing to do with me not liking Kwanzaa at all, okay?
They're Kwanzaa food.
Well, if catfish is Kwanzaa food, you're going to have to check me off the Kwanzaa list this year. Check me off of your Kwanzaa gift-giving list, okay? I don't need...
That's too bad. I was going to deliver some to your home fresh.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That's very funny. You know, get out of here. Get out of here with your funky jokes. All right, it's a Phil Henry show here. Later on this evening, we have Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police talking about safety in numbers this holiday season, and that will be later on tonight. We also want to remind you yet again that our first CD signing of the year will be Saturday, December the 18th, and get that thing out of here.
Have a catfish.
I don't want any catfish, man. And our first CD signing will be on the 18th of December, Saturday, at Rock Honda in Fontana, 9612 Sierra Avenue, north of the 10. The 1999 Phil Henry CD, Communism is Neat, is here. And our first CD signing, noon. Be right back on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bonjour et merci de voler des mains rien de Phil Henry. Du contraire d'une altitude de 30 000 pieds. D'ailleurs, Jerry Lewis.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Who's going to David's party? You are? And Crozier is? Just remember, this guy's been out sick all week. He's been out sick on flat on his back, laying in a mosquito net someplace. I ain't going to go to no sick house. I ain't going to no house where they had the fever. Remember all those old westerns? We got the fever in here. Huh? What do you mean those were all black? We got the fever. No, I ain't doing no Kwanzaa shtick this early in the Kwanzaa season. No, remember those westerns where the guy would say, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, we got the fever in here. Y'all just better get. Daughter had it. Week go Tuesday. Had it now going on 2 months. Get Doc Silas up here from Kansas City. Try to get him on in from the big town. Feed the ladies all low. Children lost the only mother they ever had last winter. Right when the river rose. Terrible thing indeed. Call the chaplain all the way up here from Hattieville. My son took it a week ago, a Tuesday. I myself got a bit of the croup too. Y'all just begin.
Well, you've won the publisher's clearinghouse, sir.
Y'all just... Oh, really? Well, come on in. This is Regis Philbin. How would you like to be a millionaire?
Y'all just been kidding. We got the fever in here, Mr. Philbin.
How'd you like to turn on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And you see Regis with nothing but a succession of black women. Now, you know the criticism of the show, it's too white. But I guarantee you, see, nobody notices that. White folks don't notice that. The only people that notice that are black folks and other minorities. You know, Hispanic, Asian American, what have you, Native American, Asian Pacific, etc. Those are the only ones that notice that. White people never notice that it's too white. It all looks pretty normal to us. You know what I'm saying? When's the last time you ever watched a TV and show? God damn, a lot of white people on that show. Looks fine to me. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Until somebody, and rightfully so, says there are too many white folks. And they go, oh, geez, you know, I'm sort of looking at it through these white eyes of mine. See, to white people, there's no such thing as too white. To white folks, it's just the whiter the better, I guess. I don't know. It's not that we got anything. Seriously, it's not that we have anything against black folks or anything. It's just white. It's just totally normal. And then a guy says to you, you know, I don't see one black face in this crowd. You go, oh, geez, you know, you're right. I wasn't really looking for any, but you're right. I guess there's some black folks. So we don't notice that. What we would notice, though, and every time Whitey says something like this to me,
You know, I'm colorblind. People are all the same to me.
Of course, you don't buy it, but you can't really call them on it. The way you could call them on it, though, the way that you could really find out what people believe, is if you had a TV show like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Regis Philbin, and it was just one black woman after the next as a contestant, I guarantee you, white folks would start getting a little nervous. You know, they'd, hello, is this ABC? I don't mean to come. You know, I'm...
Get away from the phone. We got the fever in here.
I gotta go. You would. All of a sudden, you'd find yourself creeping toward the phone on the wall in the kitchen, and you'd just put a call into the programming chief, okay?
Well, I don't know, Charlie. I don't think... No, just call him up.
Hi. I don't want to say anything, but... You got a lie. Is there something wrong? Are you people all right?
Yeah, why? What's the matter?
Well, just a whole lot of coloreds on your show lately. I don't, I guess that's why white folks watch the Lottery Big Spin show. Oh, they don't watch the Lottery Big Spin show? Oh, that's right, because that's a quick succession of black females. Thank you. You never, as a matter of fact, I don't see that show on any white homes in America, the Lottery Big Spin show. Because it's strictly a show driven, contestant-wise, by minorities. And they generally seem to be. Now, is the Lottery Big Spin show just the California lottery? Or is that national? It's got to be California. For those of you who are not living in California, well, yeah, we all have. You got Powerball in the Midwest. You got lotteries all over the place. Here in California, it seems that everybody who wins it is, you know, a minority, Hispanic, African-American, depending. And there ain't a white man I know who watches that show. But we're all on that, who wants to be a stinking millionaire? How come that show is such a big deal when you can see that every week in the California Big Spin? And these cats ain't winning a million. They're winning 15 and 20 million. And all they're doing is spinning a stinking wheel. What's so interesting about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I'll tell you what's so interesting about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It's a whole bunch of white boys. See, I dated for 3 years... I say dated. It sounds horrible when you say I dated for 3 years. I was very involved with, for 3 years, an African-American woman. We were going steady. And she finally said to me one day when we were leaving a Christmas party, about long before I met Maria, and before we were married. And she said, you know, the next party we go to, will you either rent or ship in some black folks? Bus them in. I don't give a crap what you do. Get them in on a cab. I am getting so tired of going to your stinking parties with all you white people. I said, geez, I never noticed. She said, well, of course you didn't notice.
You see, honey, I'm colorblind. I don't notice that you're black.
She said, well, I damn sure noticed that you're white and all of your friends. She says, Phil, I don't know whether you noticed it or not, but you're pretty white. And your friends is, too. I said, friends is. Ha 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 ha. Anyway... So that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, if you get a bunch of black women, one after the other, on that program, I guarantee you're going to get a couple of white people up off their ever-widening cans to the phone to ask. You know, they're not going to say anything. They're nothing very overtly racist. It'll simply be, is this a show for black women? I'm not sure what this program's at. No, it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Well, what is it about? It's about answering questions. Well, why do you only have black females on the show?
Well, we don't only have black females on the show. It just so happens that they're the smartest people that we have.
Black women are the smartest. You ever want to start to see a little bit of that race hate starting to leak out of whitey, man? Just to have nothing but black women. And pretty soon, before they even know it, they're going to be asking questions like that. It's just it's just the way that they are. They're not bad people, but but you put nothing but white men on there, the white people ain't going to say nothing. It's normal to them. And if the black folks are screaming about it, or any of the Hispanics or anybody, the whites come up with the standard line, which is, oh, why don't you people quit seeing race and everything? You're seeing race and everything. This is normal. See, you get rid of that affirmative action, and now here's what you got. You see, you got yourself some whites. So we got to the point now where we got to lay a little affirmative action into our game shows? Oh, come on. Like that lady that was on our show about 4 weeks ago, she said, well, the way to get women and black people on that show is make the questions easier and read them slower. Oh, that's good. Who wants to be a millionaire? All right, anyway, here's a story, and I want you to hear this, and then sort of let this sit for a while, and then I'll give you my take on this.
There was no kid glove treatment for a 12-year-old boy who stomped his feet in a puddle and sprayed classmates and a school official. 12-year-old boy stomped his feet in a puddle and sprayed classmates and a school official. That's in Inverness, Florida. Deputy Tim Langer hauled Kyle Fredrickson off to jail and charged the boy with disruption of an educational institution, a misdemeanor for the incident. Lieutenant James Martoni, who oversees the school resource officer program, said Langer made a proper arrest. Kyle's parents, Chuck and Brenda Fredrickson, are outraged. His family says he has a hyperactive disorder as in a class with similar children. Langer should have taken that into account before arresting him, they said. Kyle is back in school after being arrested for stomping his feet in a puddle and spraying classmates and a school official in Inverness, Florida. Now, you hear that story, and I'll put a number on it. 85% of every guy and gal doing a talk show in America has probably said by this point, or by this time in the day, how outrageous, what a ridiculous thing. This zero tolerance has gone way overboard. And the poor kid, and what kind of schmucks are we putting a kid in jail because he stomped his feet in a puddle? And there's another 15% are saying, well, you know, you have to adhere to the rules and you have to do what is, you know, what if you set these rules up, then you're going to have to follow those rules. I mean, that, after all, is the consistency that is required if we expect consistent behavior out of our children. Those are the two sides. Either yes, he should have been arrested, or no, he shouldn't have been arrested. Now, here's my take on this story. I don't think it ever happened. I think it's bullcrap. I think they made it up. And I think every so often they make these stories up. I think this stuff comes out of the Talk Show Manufacturing Corporation of America, some topic mill someplace, because I don't think there's any place called Inverness, Florida, and I don't think there's any kid who stomped his feet in a puddle and sprayed his classmates and a school official. This stuff is too pat. It is too pat, too outrageous, too rife with intricacy and interesting aspects, too cut and dried, too black and white. Has all of the proper players, children, adults in school. This is baloney. It never happened. Now, get a load of that. Next time you see a news story you figure is too extreme, or maybe not extreme enough, or it's too black and white, or it's too cut and dry, I dare you to look at it really square in the face and say, you know, see it for what it is, man. It's a load. Now, I don't see AP on this, and I don't see UPI on this either. Did you get this out of USA Today? Who says they got to be printing the truth either? As a matter of fact, who says USA Today is printing truth at all? There's no rule or law that says USA Today has to print the truth. There absolutely is there is nothing. You can't find anything on the books anywhere that tells me that the USA Today has got to print truth. Or the LA Times, or any other newspaper for that matter. Just because they deliver it to your door every morning, and it costs a quarter out of a newsstand rack, and it says all the news that's fit to print, or all the news that fits, or whatever crap they want to put up on the masthead, don't mean that stuff's for real. I think half that jazz is made up. It's like the World Weekly News. All those guys walking by the newsstand and saying, oh, man, do they really think I'm an idiot? Well, I guess they probably do think you're an idiot if you think that they're printing that stuff thinking people are going to believe it. Nobody believes it. World Weekly News is a joke sheet. Get it? It's a gag sheet. It's joke stories. It's supposed to make you laugh. The funniest part of World Weekly News is watching the clown standing there kind of scratching his chin and wondering whether or not that headline about Bat Boy is for real. That same kid with the bat face has been on the cover of World Weekly News every year for the last 15 years. Have you remember that kid with the pointed ears and the bat face? How many times are they going to break that story out? Bat Boy reemerged. You know, where is he, in a cave someplace? Does he live downtown? Has he got his own condominium? By now, he's got to be about, I figure, 25. Now he's got the big pointed ears with the real freaked out face, with that, you know, that big mouth with that bat face? He's about 26, 27. He's taking classes, postgraduate somewhere. But they still got the same little bat kiss around that guy, and the guy's walking by that newsstand now every year for 15 years going, hey, honey, there's that bat kid. Wonder what's up with him. As he pulls another 12-pack of Schlitz out of the cart. The Bat Kid. So just keep that in mind. Okay, so anyway, so that kid down in Inverness, Florida, that's a load of crap. He's probably at home and he never stomped no puddle. And you know what? Give me a break, all right? Mike, give me something real, okay? Give me something I can sink my teeth into. Anybody got the fever out there? Is there any bubonic plague running around? Didn't they find a rat with a flea in it down at the harbor? It's the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Show 1-800-449-8686. I suddenly got very angry and depressed during the break. I don't know why. I suddenly got extremely angry and depressed during the break. Just get all of this out of here. Just get it out. Just get all of this self-important swill out of here. Oh God. It's like the whole business, the radio business, smells like that catfish I just had my nose in about a half hour ago. You know, it's just, oh, God. Ugh, Jesus. Oh, excuse me, I said the name Jesus. Forgive me. Let me back up and take another run at that one. Sheesh, how about that? Or, jeez. Oh, man, I just, after a while, Judith Christ. You know, what our show stands for, perhaps I should give this speech, because we just went national a couple of months ago. Not that you care, but I do, so I'll say it. We stand against everything having to do with this concept of education through the media. Somebody called television a large classroom once. I think it was that poor guy, Dave Garraway. Guess what happened to him? He blew his brains out. He used to be the host of that Today Show. And, you know, the concept was put forth that radio could be an educational tool as well. Well, the facts are these. It ain't. We've never believed it, and we live every day of our lives on this show, the Phil Henry Show, proving it time and again. Not so much that you can't learn, but that you can't get any real information, not any real information, via the airwaves in the way that you think you're getting it. You have to have your eyes and your ears open at all times. If you think you're going to sit on your can, pet your cat, have yourself a crueler, idly feed the bird, and listen to the radio and get truth, my friends, truth ain't that easy to come by. I don't care who you think you're getting it from. We here at the Phil Henry Show believe that you're full of crap, every bit as much as we are. And I love these people that tell me, your show's fake. Tell me a show that ain't. Give me one show that ain't. One radio show that is not fake. Go ahead. I dare you. I dare you to come up with one single radio show that is real. I got a big news flash for you. There ain't none. Oh, they tell you that it is. This is a show. So you put into it anything that you can to move the minutes, the quarter hours, and eventually the hours along until that golden moment arrives, you're off the air in your home or wherever it is that you're going to go. Each day, you're just putting one foot in front of the other, trying to fill the vacuum of space and sound and time, trying to put together a radio show. Some of it's real, some of it's fantasy, some of it ain't got no point at all. Our show, we got a point. Everything we do here, we have a point to it. Everything that we do here is meticulously planned down to the last second. Can't say that about most shows, but on this one, we know exactly what it is that we're doing. Every now and again, we may leak a little truth through all of the subterfuge, but the fact of the matter is, it's a load of baloney. And if it's depressing you and making you feel so terrible and making you, pine away for the days of Arthur Godfrey or whatever it is that you want to do, then you never had your feet in reality to begin with.
And as Jimmy Durante once said, everybody wants to get into the act. So now everybody's a schtickmeister, and everybody is throwing around the word satire. You know, forgive me, I saw Bill Handel's name in the newspaper recently, and next to it was the word satire. I know what it was. He was talking about some shtick he was doing one morning, and I use that word very loosely, about how Asian Americans are real short and they got slanted eyes, and it was, you know, one of those sort of pointless little moments of racial humor that kind of popped out of nowhere. Something about bowing and scraping and how our general manager was all 6'2" of them, had to look down on these little Asian guys bowing. And he went on to say and explain this bit, and I happen to like Bill, but I know what satire is. He don't do none of that in the morning. Now, he has commentary, some of it humorous, some of it serious. He ain't doing no shtick. But he defended that by saying, well, it was satirical. You know, I can call somebody a bone-smoking faggot and the next minute say, that's satirical. Well, why? Well, it's to defend myself against any charge of bigotry, homophobia, charges of intolerance, charges of prejudice. I can simply say, oh, it was a satirical bit. It was all done in fun. You have to understand. Don't take it seriously. It's entertainment. That's what these jive-ass mothers who don't know how to do a show, who just sit there and wing it for 4 hours or 3 hours a day, that's what they use to cover up their obvious lack of material and obvious lack of anything interesting to say. They say it was all satire. And it's all entertainment, so don't take any of it seriously until, of course, they want you to take them seriously. And when that time comes, they'll let you know, we hope. Who do these cats think they're fooling, man? I'll tell you what, like I said, I know what I'm doing every minute of the day that we're on the air here. I know exactly what the show is about. I know exactly what the antenna is about. And I get so sick and tired of having to read letters or reading comments in the newspaper or comments from other guys on the air talking about their satire, their parody, and what it was they intended and how it's all in fun. It's all a bunch of entertainment. You guys smell like a bunch of soul food, man. Phil has spoken, although I don't remember half of what I said. What the hell is that? Oh, is that? What is that? That's bumper music? Did I give you that? Sorry I did that. Goodbye.